Thanks for joining Walt and me today. My name is Brenda McCord. Each week, we look forward to sharing lessons from God's Word. This podcast, Walk with God, is part of our ministry, Discover God's Truth. We invite you to visit the website and subscribe at discovergodstruth.org, where you can grow and be encouraged in your personal walk with the Lord. We appreciate the outreach ministry of theawakeningworldwide.com. Welcome, friends. Walt and I love sharing with you each week on this podcast, and we just want to thank you. Thank you for listening. There are listeners all around the world, and God sees you. We don't know your faces. We don't know names, but we want you to know we pray for you, and we're so thankful that God knows your names, and He cares about you. It's our desire for you to be strengthened and encouraged in God's Word, and that's why we teach these weekly lessons here on Walk with God. Please subscribe to our website, discovergodstruth.org. We've added the link in the show notes below. Well, we're getting close to the end of 1 Peter.
Are we?
We're bringing it in for a landing.
How long has this been? I am trying to remember.
Well, I think we're going to teach probably almost 14 weeks on this book, five chapters in 1 Peter. And today we're going to come into that fifth chapter. And boy, Walt, have our hearts not been challenged, but really encouraged this week?
Yeah, it's been a challenging week. It's been a good week. And I will tell you a little bit more about it as we dig into this.
So Peter's going to conclude the body of this epistle, of this letter. And in this section, he wants to offer encouragement. Remember, we've been talking from the very first chapter, and then as we got deeper into this letter, about suffering, of trials, of hardship. And Peter, as it is coming alongside of, we even refer to them as his people, right? He's loved them. He cares about them. And he wants them to understand. He wants us to understand how to live when we're suffering in this world.
Right. And the idea is we're in this together, y'all. I mean, different kinds of suffering. We're not saying everyone is going to have a direct confrontation because of the cause of Christ, but we're saying different kinds of suffering. There's struggles that are going to happen as we give our life over and we start to live for Christ.
So let's go to chapter 5 and just begin in verse 1. Peter says, "So I exhort the elders among you as a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, as well as a partaker in the glory that's going to be revealed." So I'm going to stop right there. Verse 1. Walt and I talked about this and has pointed out this is the first time Peter uses this personal pronoun, I. So I exhort you. He realizes his time here on earth probably is drawing to a close. He's seen a lot of ministry. He's seen a lot of hardship and trials. But he realizes he needs to talk to these people and he's exhorting them. These people are in the midst of suffering, facing trials. And now Peter gives a special charge to who? To the elders. This is the word overseers, the overseers within the congregations of his readers. Remember, when you go back to chapter 1, it talks about being aliens, we're not even really sure how many churches this letter got spread around to. But Peter himself is an elder. He's an apostle. He traveled with Jesus during his ministry years. And as an elder, he now shares with his readers from his personal experience.
And even as you say that, I mean, it's such a contradiction. I, you know, I, as an elder, I mean, Peter has been given great authority by Jesus Christ when he was up at Caesarea Philippi. Remember, Jesus said, who do people say that I am? And you could be this, you could be that, but who do you say? And Peter says, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus says, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, Simon, son of Jonah. Blessed are you, because flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And Jesus gives him special authority. And here Peter just says, hey, I'm one of the elders like you, but it's much more than that. And when we talk about this participating in the sufferings and in the life of Christ, we've been doing some study. I've personally been doing some study in John 21. And there, Jesus reinstates Peter. Do you remember that? And they're by the Sea of Galilee, and Peter's gone up there fishing and said, guys, let's go fishing. And Jesus comes, and this is the second time Jesus is talking to them. The first time he was out in the boat and said, hey, put the nets over there. And they had this great catch of fish. This time he's on the shore and he says, hey, you guys, do this. And they're not sure all of what's going on, but as they come to this, you know, Jesus is saying, you know, Peter, you're going to have some special opportunity for me, but also there's going to be some hard things. And really, when I get to John chapter 21, verses 18 and 19, Jesus says this. Jesus said, I tell you the truth, Peter. When you were younger, you dressed yourself, you went where you wanted, but you are now old, and you will stretch out your hands, and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go. Jesus said this to Peter to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God, that he would spread his hands out, that he would die on a cross. But Peter said, no, I don't want to do that like Jesus. I want to do it upside down. And as we're reading this, as we continue this, we're saying, oh my heavens, what kind of suffering is Peter? Does Peter understand that he's going to face? Well, as we continue on in verses 2 and 3, Jesus has this wonderful statement where he's saying, Peter, guess what? You're going to be a shepherd and you need to teach these other shepherds.
And so continuing in 2 and 3, shepherd the flock of God that is among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but willingly, as God would have you, not for shameful gain, but eagerly, not domineering over those in your charge, but being examples to the flock.
And even in this exhortation, do you see what they're going back and forth? And Peter's saying this, not this way, but this way. Not this way, but this way. And so it says, first of all, not under compulsion. You don't have to do this, but you need to do this willingly. You need to believe that God has called you to watch over the flock. And that's what God would have you to do. Not for shameful gain. You don't go into ministry to get wealthy. And I can't even go into all of this, but it's not a place to go to get wealthy.
Well, and if you're going to be in ministry and you're going to shepherd sheep, you've got to love sheep. You've got to care for the people that are around you, right?
Right. And not only care for the sheep, but you've got to do it for the right reason and in the right way. You've got to be eager to do this. It has to be something that you say, God, I believe you've called me to this. I want to do this well. And then not domineering over those in your charge. Again, not saying, hey, I hate the idea of a shepherd beating the sheep. Be an example to the flock. Love them well. Care for them well. That's Peter's exhortation to his fellow elders. I've cared or tried to care for you well. You need to care for the flock well. And that's the ministry that God gives us. That's what he's calling us to do.
Right. And so elders are responsible. It's that pastoral work within the local church. And it's interesting, as Peter's now coming, he's winding down in this fifth chapter, but he's coming to the leaders and he's giving them instruction, right? He's saying, you need to care. You need to be a shepherd.
Right. And there's a noun portion of this. You need to be a shepherd. That's the noun, but it's also a verbal shepherd. You need to shepherd well this flock that you've been giving. You need to feed them. You need to lead them. You need to guide them. You need to guard them. and you need to provide for them. That's what a shepherd does. And as Peter's saying this, he has modeled this for 30 years. I mean, and he saw this modeled by Jesus. He wants to pass on. Jesus did this well. I've tried to do this well. You need to do this well. And even if, as I say that, I don't know if you sense the passion in my voice, but you know, for over 40 years, I've walked with the Lord, and for about 38 years, we've been in pastoral ministry. And both Brenda and I love to pastor people. We love to shepherd them. And when we read verses like this, I feel like God's pointing his finger right at us. And I wonder if God's pointing his finger right at you. And this is one of those head-to-heart moments.
Right, and that exactly where I'm going, head-to-heart. I love those verbs that you shared, that as we're shepherding, we're feeding, we're leading, we guide, we guard, we provide for. And that takes me to Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, right? And are we following the Lord, that example he sets, that we're taking people beside the still water, that we're encouraging them to rest when needed, that when they're walking through dark valleys, the valley of the shadow of death, are we there with them? Are we guiding them? Are we helping them along the way?
Yeah, and even as you say that this whole idea of living a godly life and being an elder, being a shepherd, and taking care of these sheep that are in your care. I mean, Brenda and I now kind of are in a senior season of life, and we've been talking about this because it's no longer about us doing things. We want to train others to do this and follow after us, to be under shepherds. And that's what this whole passage is talking about. It's if you need to be an effective shepherd, but you also need to recognize that there's a good shepherd coming, and he's going to be watching over you, and you're going to have an account for him.
Yeah. And I think of what would God say to any of us who come alongside of people, and we are leading, shepherding, pastoring with them, coming beside them. And that is that we would ask them and invite them into a growing relationship with Jesus Christ, getting them to tell their story, listening to how God has helped them grow, but then encouraging them that they can grow more in who Jesus wants them to be holy as I'm holy.
Yeah, and even as you say that, Brenda, one of the things I'm thinking of, even for men, is one of the primary roles of men, especially fathers, is to shepherd their family. And with that, it's as you read through this passage, put your name in there and say, how should I shepherd my family? What does that look like? How can I care for them well? And what does it look like to be a man of integrity, that I would be taking care of my family, that I'd be taking care of my wife? It might even help you to read Psalm 23 and put your name in that. Father, put your name in that man in place of the shepherd, as you desire to take care of your family and shepherd that flock well.
And now what Peter wants us to do as we move from verses 2 and 3 is we're shepherding the flock, we're examples for the flock, but now what we want to move into in verse 4, and when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory. And what Peter wants to remind the flock is, as you're faithful, when that chief shepherd, who is that? That's Jesus. He will appear. He will call us back. But there will be a crown of glory. And I love that it tells us an unfading crown of glory. This is the promised crown, and it's different. These people would have been familiar. I've got to be careful with how I say this word. The Isthmian Games, they wore what would wilt and wither, a parsley wreath that they would weave and put on their head. That was their crown for winning a race, for winning one of the challenges. But here it says, Peter's, you will receive an unfading crown of glory if you are faithful.
You know, and even as you're saying that, I mean, the idea of saying, what does it mean to receive a crown of glory? you know, Peter says, there's a chief shepherd and he's coming. And when he appears, he's going to reward you for being faithful. Let me say that again. There's a chief shepherd and he's coming and he will reward all who have been faithful, and he will not reward those who have not been faithful. And so part of that is to say, you know, we don't try to live a life worthy of the Lord because we're trying to earn God's favor. We do that because we've received God's favor, that Jesus has given us his favor, that he's forgiven our sins. But now we want to live in a way that honors the Lord. We want to live in a way that makes a difference. And that's what he's saying. This crown of glory, it doesn't have to fade. This is one that will come to every faithful Christian when Christ returns. And again, it's not like to say, oh, I'm going to get mine. It's to say, you and I need to think about what God wants us to do, how he wants us to live. This wonderful crown that's repeated in a number of passages in Scripture, it reminds us that faithfulness now will receive a reward when Jesus Christ returns.
So the responsibility of others, we move into verse 5, likewise, you who are younger. So Peter's addressing the elders, he is addressing the leaders, but now he's turning in verse 5 because it's almost like he's giving these parting words of instruction here, right? He's saying, right. You are who are leading. So now in verse 5, you who are younger, be subject to the elders. Clothe yourselves, all of you. Clothe yourselves, all of you, with humility toward one another. For God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble.
Well, in that whole idea of you younger ones, you know, there was a time when I was a younger one, and I was, you know, so excited, and I'm going to move forward, and we're going to do all these things. But what Peter is saying is, no, you know what? Be subject, be humble under the leadership of the elders. And this whole idea of the younger and the older, and what does that mean? I mean, that whole idea of leaders in the church were normally older. And even as I say that, that's not to say God can't use younger men and women. He can, he will. But there's a desire for those people with white hair. And by the way, my hair is getting more and more white, but there's this desire to say, what does it look like? Well, you know, God wants you to be humble, all of us, whether we're younger or older. That whole idea of clothing ourselves with that humility, that's what we're all to have. But there's also a special blessing to say, these elders in the church, as they're shepherding well, live underneath their guidance and be very careful.
And as we close in verse 6, he says, humble yourselves. So wrapping up from verse 5, rolling into verse 6, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time, he, God, will exalt you.
And that's for all of us. All of us need to humble ourselves. Whether we're younger or older, all of us need to take a position and say, God, I want you to guide us. God, I want you to watch over us and direct us forward. Well, let's close with prayer. Father God, I thank you for this wonderful challenge that we would shepherd well the people that we have around us. For us as husbands, we would shepherd well our families. For wives, that they would shepherd well their kids. And Father, I ask that you would help us, all of us, be humble. Lord, I thank you that you give grace to the humble and you oppose the proud. And so, Father, would you work in our hearts and head to heart? Would you help us to desire to be humble as we seek to walk with you? And I ask that would be our model, that would be our posture, a posture of humbly walking with our God day by day. I pray in Christ's name, amen.
Thank you for listening to this lesson from God's Word. Walk with God is part of the teaching ministry of Discover God's Truth. Visit our website at discovergodstruth.org. We appreciate the outreach ministry of theawakeningworldwide.com.